I want to talk to you about understanding God's promise of eternal life. Go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, because we're going to get into this right away. And what I want to do is kind of set the stage for where we're going, because I believe God is doing great things and He's doing new things. And sometimes new things we may not see them as a new thing that God is doing. We just feel like God's messing with us. You ever feel that way? You just feel like God's kind of continually messing your routine up and messing the way that you think that something should work. And in the midst of it, if we're not careful, we'll miss God's blessing. There's something to learn here, and I really just kind of, what I hope to do is at the end of service, I'm going to set you up here with an opportunity to respond, because I believe there's so many things that God is doing in our hearts and our lives. But if we're not quick to obey, or if we're not quick to listen to what God is saying, we'll miss an opportunity, or we'll miss a season. And there's a promise that He gives us called eternal life. And it's one of the most exciting promises, because God gives us this promise of eternal life, and most of us know this. If I ask Jesus into my heart and I say yes to Him, at that moment when I've asked Him into my heart to forgive me of my sins, I'm saved. I have eternal life, right? We've got that. But some of us think that's the completion of it. There's just, when I give my heart to Jesus, I will experience eternal life when I die in the flesh. Then I will experience eternal life forevermore. But the reality is you do experience eternal life when you die, but there's also the promise of eternal life that God gives while you're still here today breathing. Did you know that? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because if we miss this promise, we'll miss the reason for why we exist, what we're doing and who we are. You know, it was in history, if you've studied history at all, which history was not my strong suit in school. I mean, I was coasting by with a strong D+. I mean, history was a struggle for me. But one of the stories I remember was about a guy named Ponce de Leon. And this guy in history, he was sailing with Christopher Columbus, and on his second voyage to the New World in 1493, Ponce de Leon remained in Santo Domingo. And it was an island that was just kind of south of Florida. And as a reward for his service to Spain, he was given the right to find the island of Bimini. Do you remember this at all? He was in search of something called the Fountain of Youth. Remember hearing about this? Who would not want to find the Fountain of Youth? Because the youth gives promises that just cannot be contained. Promises of health, promises of youth. And so he goes searching for this, and to find the supposed Fountain of Youth. And legend has it that if anyone drank from the fountain, they would have that youth and that health. And in his quest for eternal life, Ponce de Leon organized an expedition to find the fountain in the March of 1513. But the problem is he missed the island and landed near the site of what is now St. Augustine, Florida. That's where he ended up at. So after sailing through the Florida Keys to Cuba, finding nothing, he finally kind of gave up and went back home to Spain. But he was determined. He was determined to find this Fountain of Youth. So Ponce de Leon sailed back with another voyage to the island of Bimini in February of 1521. And he had this time two ships, 200 men, and this time they landed on the west coast of Florida, where they were met by a group of hostile Native Americans. And Ponce de Leon was struck by an arrow, and he died from his wounds, July of 1521, at the age of 61. Here it is. He gave everything he had in search of something he never found. He gave all that he had because he wanted to find this promise of eternal life, and thought that it existed in the form of a fountain in some location here on earth. You know, many of us are searching for these promises of eternal youth. You can't help but turn the TV on and see these promises that the world gives to you. Inject this, rub this cream on, take this pill, eat this food, and you'll have this kind of a body. That's what it's all about, right? Eternal life, the fountain of youth, looking young forever. And we kind of get these misconceptions. Look at your TV and you'll see TV shows all over the place about the beauty on the outside and about makeovers that are extreme. They do reality shows about all of this. And they find very self-conscious people who don't feel good about themselves and put them in front of a camera and try to rebirth an image, which is eventually going to fail as well, because they've missed the promise that God gives. Because promise of men and women will eventually wear out. They'll fade or they'll fail. But the promise that God gives through eternal life, the promise that God gives, never gives up, never fails, and never stops giving and blessing. There's so many companies today that are making medicines and creams and pills. A company named Pfizer spent millions of dollars trying to perfect an anti-aging pill. Did you know that? Millions of dollars. $71 million later, they threw it out. That's a lot of money and a lot of time. And they ended up having to throw it out. Other anti-aging drugs they kind of developed and sold to the baby boomers have netted $26 billion. $26 billion. Now, let me help you understand the difference between millions and billions, okay? Because they're both big numbers. But when we look at it, we just see one letter change. If I were to tell you that I'll see you in a million seconds, that means I'll see you in 12 days, okay? But if I said that I were going to see you in a billion seconds, that means I wouldn't see you for 33 years. That's the difference between millions and billions, and these companies are raking in the dough. On what? On people who are searching for eternal life when we've been given the promise right here. Free of charge. God paid the price for you and for me. You know, there's so many pills out there to help us with whatever we're going through, whether it's depression, whether we can't sleep. You know, I when I go to bed tonight, I can't usually succeed unless I have the help of something called temazepam, okay? It's something that's prescribed. So am I over here bashing it if somebody takes medication? Absolutely not. But when you look at medication to be your all-in-all, or you look at that to be your savior, then we have problems. Would you agree? You see, eternal youth, what's that all about? Eternal life. We all want to have this youthfulness. But as we get older and older, it's only a matter of time. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. Let me check your memory this morning and see if you remember a few of these things. By show of hand, how many of you guys remember candy cigarettes? Remember that? Oh, yeah. Everyone, yeah. It's an easy one. How many of you remember wax Coke-shaped bottles with colored sugared water inside? Yeah. How many of you popped the whole bottle in your mouth and just chewed the whole thing? How many of you guys remember telephone party lines? Wow, you guys are old. Oh, did I say that out loud? 45 RPM records. I remember those, yes. S&H green stamps. All right. Aluminum metal ice cube trays with levers on the top. How many of you still have them? Yes, there was a couple first service too. Wash tub ringers with rollers. I see your hand, Dad. Roller skate keys. You remember those? Yes. Soda machines that open from the top and dispense bottles hung in the metal racks. Hey, remember those? Here we go. Home milk delivery with cardboard stoppers. I'm not going to say it. You remember well. You remember well. Do you know that everybody wants to stop the aging process? We have these memories, things that we remember, all the things that once was, but now change has come. And we've learned to accept the change. Maybe we didn't like it at one point, but when we learned to accept it, we found out there's a benefit to it when it was something that would help us along the way. God gives us a promise. Now, His promises never change, but the question is what are we doing with the promise that He gives? I want to talk to you this morning about understanding a man in the Bible. We read about him a while ago, about 3 months ago. But in Matthew chapter 19, this is the rich young ruler, okay? And it says in verse 16, "Behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good things shall I do to obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what's good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' So Jesus said, don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All of these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?' So Jesus said to him, 'If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven to come and follow me.' But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly, I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Now, what is going on here is a young man shows up and he says, "God, I want to follow you. What do I have to do?" And he says, well, you just got to make sure that you follow the commandments. And he said, "I'm keeping the commandments. What's next?" And he said, "Oh, okay." He said, "If you really want to know what you need to do," he said this, "there's one thing that you need to do right now." And that's what made all the difference. Right now. Now, he said, "Follow me. I want you to lay down everything and come follow me right now." It's so key. Here's a question on the floor this morning. What is it that God is calling you to do right now? I've often wondered about this scripture when he says, listen, God, I kept the commandments. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal. I didn't commit adultery. I love my neighbor. You know, I've done all this. And I'm thinking over here, liar, liar, pants on fire. You had to at some point have some kind of hate in your heart. And so God, seeing this, says, you know what you need to do? If you really want to experience the promises of eternal life that I have for you, not just after you die, but while you're here on earth, then go and do what it is I'm telling you to do right now. And he said, I can't. He said, I can't do that, God. I can't give up all of this stuff and my prestige and all that I'm tied to. You see, it wasn't about the money. It wasn't about giving up a title. It was about giving up what he was tied to. This young man was tied to what he was intertwined with. God said, let it go. Give it up. Come follow me now. I don't know about you, but when my parents said the word now, I hated it. Hey, you know, you get in here now. I hate that word now. Never liked it until I became an adult and had kids. Now I love the word. Except when God's looking at me saying, now. And he's saying, you have got to do this now. What is it that God is calling you to do? If you want to experience the promises of eternal life that God has for you in the here and now, then do what it is that God is telling you to do now. John 10:10 tells us in the Word that he gives us this promise of life. He says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the second part is what's so important. John 10:10, it's right there. Let's read it together. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He says, I've come to give you life, fullness of life. I want to fill your life with joy. Jesus came that we may have a quantity of life, but also that we may have a great quality of life. Put that in your outline in that bullet there. It says, Jesus promises a quality and a quantity of life. Understand this, eternal life doesn't begin after you die. There is something that God gives us that's called a quality of life, called eternal life. And he says, I want to use you. I've got a purpose for your life. And I want to pour my life out within you. His word also says in Titus, that the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. He says, I've promised this. I have given eternal life. God is the one who is promising it, and God cannot lie. His word is always true. Do you agree? So he can't take that back. Now, often people misinterpret God's promises and think that eternal life begins after we die. They may believe all of this, but it's not about earning it. You can't purchase, you can't earn it, you can't do anything better to impress God. You've already impressed God. He sent his son to the cross to die. It has everything to do with the cross tree of Calvary, and it has less to do with about our performance. Do you understand that? You see, we are not the Messiah. Our eternal life is wrapped up in the performance of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he says, you've already impressed me, but if you want to experience that promise of eternal life, do what I'm calling you to do now. I believe there's some of us here today that have wanted to take that. We're on the edge. There's a going from here to here. But in order to get there, we have to be willing to do what God is telling us to do now. Not later, not in the past. He doesn't say you miss it. He says, what am I telling you to do now? When you step out in that, you experience the promises that God has for you, for this life. But we have to be willing to trust God to lead us there. Not only that, but put this in your outlines, that bullet there. Jesus promises us an assurance. He says in John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He says, I promise you, I give you an assurance. And when the Lord says he will take care of you in your hereafter on the other side of the grave, he's assuring you that it's true, but he says, I'll also take care of you in the here and now. I've got a promise for your life. 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. God has given us his holy word so that we may know. And there is enough in the word of God to base our faith upon and to gain confidence. You know, sometimes people wonder why the Bible doesn't talk a lot more about things like dinosaurs or about dispelling evolution or how the world was really made and things like that. They wonder about carbon dating factors and all the facts about history. But the Bible's very clear, and it says there's no way that if God were to explain everything and write it all down, there's no way that this world could contain the book that would be written, because there is so much. The Bible even tells us in John 20, verse 30, It says, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed. See, there were other things that took place that weren't in the book. And it says right there, which are not written in the book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So in other words, he says, there's a lot of other things that are going on. There's a lot of other things that aren't in the book, so to speak. But he said, but these that are in the book are in there in order to point you and me to him, to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to know that that is the most important promise of all, that he's given us eternal life. We can find out about dinosaurs later. We can find out about carbon dating and all that stuff later. But if we miss faith, we miss the big picture. We miss it all. Do you agree? Are you with me so far? Because if we miss this, if we miss that this is what it's all about, it's going to not end well for us. You see, Jesus says, I've given you my promise. And if we're not careful, we can fall into traps of having things strangled out of us and miss the whole greater picture of what God has for us. But God has called us winners. He said, right now we have the NBA finals going on, okay? San Antonio Spurs versus the Miami Heat. Now, my hope is that the Miami Heat will win, okay? I don't know how you personally feel. That's okay. But I'll tell you this, whoever wins in the end, they are all as a team going to be jumping and cheering and saying, we won the game. The coach is not going to care about the layup that was missed in game number 5. The coach is not going to worry about the pass that was botched in game number 3. Your teammates aren't going to be concerned that you tripped and fell. They may have laughed at you, but you got back up. Why? Because we won the game. Do you know that God has called you winners? He's called you and I winners. So we should live as winners. If you read the end of the book, you find out you're a winner, not a wiener, a winner, okay? God has given us the victory, but too many times we're walking around looking like somebody deflated our tires. Woe is me. Do we hit those seasons in life? Absolutely. We all go through them. But the question is when you're going through them, are you stopping there? You ever hear there's some kind of song, if you're going through hell, keep on going? Don't stop. Don't stay in that moment of despair. Don't stay in that place of defeat, because God has given you a promise of eternal life. So how do we get to that place? How do we arrive there? How do we enter into this quality and quantity of eternal life? Well, number one, write this down. He invites us to believe. He invites us to believe. Actually, Fred, can I pick on you a minute? Do you mind coming on up here? When God invites us to believe, here's what he's doing. Let's come up here so everyone can see. All right. Now, if I were to lean on Fred like this, even though he's wearing a Packer shirt, I won't hold that against him. Okay? But right now, go ahead and move. Okay, I caught myself. No big deal, right? Here, but let's say I do this. Now, stand over there a little bit. Now, I'm gonna lean on you a little bit more, and I need you to kind of hold me, okay? Oh, okay. Make sure I don't fall. So you might want to turn this way. There you go. Okay. You ready?
Yeah,
go ahead and grab my shoulder. Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to lean on you. Go ahead and back up a little bit more. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay, that's good. That's good, Fred. Thank you. Fred, have you eaten your Wheaties today? Go ahead and lean me back down. He invites us to believe right here. This is what God's talking about. He says that if I were to in that moment, thank you, Fred. Go ahead. If I were to in that moment of leaning way down there, if he were to move, my bacon would be cooked. I would be eating the carpet. Why? Because I was fully relying upon his strength to support me. And when God says, I invite you to believe, you may say, Pastor, where are you going with this message about eternal life? I've been a Christian for 55 years. Why are you talking about this? Two reasons. Number one, some people may be here and they don't have a relationship with God. And number two, you may be here for 55 years and understand that you have eternal life after you die, but you miss the fact that you have a promise of eternal life while you are still living. God is not done with you. If you are breathing here today, God is not finished. He has a plan for our life, and he says, I invite you to believe, to lean on me. So the question I have this morning is, are you leaning on him? Are you leaning on him? Or are you leaning just enough so if God doesn't come through, you can catch yourself? Are you leaning just enough so it looks like I'm leaning, but you're really just bending at the hips? You're not really leaning. We're talking about fully engaging over to the side, trusting God. Are you leaning on him? But you don't understand. I don't have food in my fridge, Pastor. Lean on Him. Let Him be your provider. Let Him be your support. And He can provide. Watch what He will do. Some may say, fridge? I'm not worried about fridges. I've got bigger problems than that. I'm facing the word cancer and I don't know what to do. I want you to know, you lean on Him. Because when you lean on Him, He is the one that has the answer to your fridge and to your cancer. He can take care of both. He knows exactly where you live. But He invites you to believe. The choice is yours. Don't say, I believe 20 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord, because the question is on the floor today, do you still believe? Do you believe today? Do you believe tomorrow? It's a daily walk of leaning and trusting upon Him. His word says in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without a relationship with God, you won't see His kingdom. He says in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. We need to be really careful not to just be agreeing in our minds and say we're believing, but leaning upon Him. Where are you not? Don't answer, obviously, at least me. Where are you not leaning on God? Where He's been telling you, you want to follow me? You want to experience the eternal promises? Here's what you do. Do it now. What has He been calling you to do now? And what has He been calling you to lean on Him for? Because you've been leaning in your own strength for way too long. You've been leaning in the strength of others for way too long. And He's in a process right now of weaning us off everything but Him. And He says, lean on me. Lean on me. Number two, He invites us to a quality of life by knowing Jesus more and more. You may say, Pastor, you just said quality and quantity. We got that. But what I'm saying here is we understand it better when we understand He invites us to a quality of life by knowing Jesus more and more and more and more. I would have kept putting that on your outlines if I could, but it drove you nuts. The point is it's an ongoing process. You don't stop. Do you notice too, number one, He invites you to believe. Number two, He invites you to a quality of life. When He invites you, we still have something we need to do. What is that? When somebody invites you, let's say today I said, I want to take you all out to lunch today. My treat. I see some of your faces. You know what they just did? They responded. When Christ invites us, do we? It's been paid for. It's not going to cost us anything. And He says, I've given you my promises free of charge. I'm buying lunch. But we still have to respond. We still have to lean upon Him. And we still have to come to this place of understanding that as we get to know Him more and more. The Bible says this in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what it's all about. You know, there are daily things that will strangle the life out of you. It will strangle your spiritual calling. It'll strangle the promises of eternity right out of your life. You get so busy at work, and then you got to get up, and you got to do this routine, and you got this schedule. I got to take care of this kid, and I got to take care of that kid. And you've got every reason. And please hear my heart. I'm not here bashing anybody. I understand this. We are busy people. But if we get too busy to hear what God wants to speak to us, it will squash out that eternal promise in our life. You ever feel like you've just been slowly suffocated in your spirit? Once you were on fire for God. And once you were just passionate, you just wanted to spend time with Him. But over time, it just slowly has waned a little bit more and a little bit more until it just kind of dies out because of the busyness of life. Guess what? He invites us. He invites us to a quality as we get to know Him more and more. Don't let the normal routine of life strangle away that spiritual life that He's put within us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, though the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory of excellence. You see, what it's saying there is this, He's granted us everything. He's granted us everything. Meditate on that. Though the true knowledge of Him who called us, He's already given us everything connected to life and goodness, but we have to make that choice. We have to choose whether we're going to obey or not. Number three is this. Write this one down. It adds an eternal ring to our earthly assignment. It adds an eternal ring. Now, not like a ring on your finger, like a ding. You know, when I graduated Bible college. I went over to my cousin's house, and I typed up a resume. And they had this thing called Photoshop. It's kind of a Photoshop thing. You got to remember, we're going back 24 years. So this is all kind of new stuff, and you could add stuff to it. So my cousin went in there and put a halo above my picture, you know? And above the halo, he put a little ding, you know, a little shiny spot on that thing. And him and I both knew I was the furthest from that. But I decided to send that into my dad and just see what would happen, have some fun with it. You know, when you see those things, those halos, ding, kind of a thing, when you understand his promises, it adds an eternal ring. What do I mean by like a ring? It's like knowing that you're in harmony with the very Spirit of God. It's like knowing that when God calls, you not just hear it, but it's a part of you and who you are. And you can't help but respond and obey to what it is the Holy Spirit is speaking. What does it mean to have an eternal ring? It means this: to be Spirit-filled and to be led by the power of His Holy Spirit day by day. And He brings forth an excellence in our hearts and our spirits because we simply obey what He says. That's what it's really dealing with. You know, too many times in my life, I've been affected by looking at others and what they have. Have you ever been guilty of that? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. You look at people, and there's a time when I'd look at celebrities. I'd look at powerful people. And we just got back from Texas, and we went to God's favorite football team, Dallas Cowboys. We went to the stadium there. And when we were walking through there, you couldn't help but see the money. I mean, they're like, here's a suite with 20 chairs in it and a living room kind of area back there. And we said, how much does this go for? And they said, oh, you can lease this for 20 years for $1 million. I said, $1 million? Are you serious? Yeah, dead serious. And they were all filling up except a couple. So you got to be kidding. We walked over to where, when you watch football, if you've ever watched the Cowboy game, Jerry Jones is sitting in this little booth, his own little private spot. Well, we got to see that spot where he's just sitting there, and he's got all these monitors. He's got an elevator that goes down to a suite that he entertains 100 people, you know, things like this. And I'm just looking around going, oh my gosh, look at the money that's around here. The old Texas Stadium sold for it was worth $35 million. The screen that shows the game at the new stadium is $40 million. Where do they get this money? And sometimes I'm guilty of looking at that going, man, if I had this kind of money, you know what I would do? Oh, I know what my brain says. It says, oh, you do great things for God. Yeah, until I had cash in hand. Then I'd be doing great things for Jim. That's what I'd be doing. It's easy to get distracted from eternal assignments that God gives us. But He says, in a world where there seems to be a darkness, you and I, we've been called to be ambassadors for Christ. It says this in your outlines. Take a look there in Philippians 3:20. Let's read it together. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called. We have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. He says, I've given you an eternal purpose, but we have to decide, what is God calling us to do now? And where are we not leaning on Him where we should be? And what it boils right down to is this: are we being Spirit-led, or are we being self-led? Are we filled with the Spirit, or are we filled with ourselves? Is what it really boils down to. Because when you can distinguish the two, you discover the promises that God has for you. I want to close in a kind of a different way today, because I believe this. I believe that God is bringing us to a place where there's promises He wants to reveal in our hearts and lives. I believe that some of us here today are in a place where God is taking us to a new season of life, but yet we haven't taken that step to trust Him. And I believe there's something that God just wants to continue to reveal in our hearts on a daily basis. You know, I was reminded of a story, and this story is about how important just our smallest choices are. All that we do makes a difference. You know, today you may say, what's the big deal? Whether I do it now or not. What's the big deal whether I lean on God now or later today or later next week? My question to you would be, why wait? You know, there's a guy, his name was Fleming. He was a farmer, a Scottish farmer. Some people, maybe you've heard this story, but they think it's coincidence, but I say it's an eternal touch, because this man was a farmer who was poor, but yet he was a God-fearing man. And one day while he was out working in the field, he heard a cry coming from out in the field, and he didn't know where it was coming from, so he went to check it out. Lo and behold, as he went out there, he found a young boy who was stuck in the mud, the black mud. And there it was like quicksand. It wasn't just mud that you got on your shoes, but it was a mud that you would sink in, and you would go down slowly, until you died and suffocated to death. He saw the boy and he was able to reach out and grab him, and he's able to pull him out of that mire and that clay, and he set him back on his feet. And the next day, that boy's dad came over and he found out as this carriage rolled up to the house that it was the son of a nobleman. And the nobleman came up dressed eloquently and said, "What can I do to thank you for saving my son's life?" And the farmer said, "There's nothing, you don't need to do anything. I cannot accept payment for what I did because my God and Father would have me do nonetheless for anyone else." And at that moment, the farmer's own son came to the door, and the nobleman had saw the farmer's son. And he said, "Is this your son?" And he said, "Yes, this is my son." And he said, "Let me do this." He said, "Let me give your son the same education that my son is getting. Let me pay for his education to be able to just thank you. And if I'm right, he'll make both of us proud." And the dad said, "Yeah, he would." And so they agreed to that. Farmer Fleming's son attended the very best college at that time. He graduated from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School in London. He went on to become known throughout the world as the noted Sir Alexander Fleming, the one who discovered penicillin. Funny enough, years later, that same nobleman's son that got stuck in the mud, you know, that the farmer had to save, he became sick. He was stricken with pneumonia. You want to know what saved his life? It was the penicillin. You know, you may be saying today, "What difference can I make? What's the big deal?" But I want you to know it is the biggest deal of all. Maybe you've been hanging on the edge and you've been wondering, "What could God do with me? I mean, after all, look at, my life is so crazy. It's topsy-turvy. There's so much stress. There's so much craziness. I got to work about 15 hours a day just to keep up with things. And you're missing out on one of the greatest promises that God could ever do in your life. Don't you realize that when you say yes to Him, He can rearrange your world. And He can provide where you didn't see provisions before. But we have to make a choice now. This is a now moment. This isn't a let me think about it. This isn't a let me pray about it. This isn't a let me have a family meeting about it. This is one of those now moments where God says, "I'm here. And I want your heart to follow mine so, so deeply." Maybe today you're here and you're learning what it means to lean on Him. Maybe you've not been leaning like you should. I want you to know that God says, "When you lean on me, I will have your back. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There is nothing that's impossible for me, so lean on me. Trust me. Trust me with your life. Trust me with your walk. Trust me with your marriage. Trust me with your health. Trust me with all of it. And I will not fail you or let you down." I've asked Susie if she would come. And I want you to just take this moment. I just want you to just kind of feel free to close your eyes if you want to be ministered to. Because we live in a crazy world where waves are tossing us to and fro. And the question remains the same. Are you going to lean on Him? Are you going to trust Him?
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. Oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your hands. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and you won't start now. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. And you are mine, oh. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
I want to ask you this morning, in a world that's crazy, stressed, so much going on, don't miss the greatest thing of all. And that's a touch from the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you two things that I really feel the Lord put on my heart. Are you here today, number one, and you don't have a relationship with God? Don't leave today without knowing that you have that solidified in your heart. Are you here today? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to ask you this. If you are here today and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you don't have that promise of eternal life. You can have it today. Jesus said that you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you're saved. Are you here today? And you need that relationship, just simply raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you, that today you know you can have that. Father sees your heart. You receive that today in the promise of your Holy Spirit. Is there any other hearts here today? I agree with you, my brother. Let me ask this. Last night as I was just praying about this, I really felt the Holy Spirit kind of call an audible and do something different. And I want to give you an opportunity today. I believe some of us are here today and we are at a point in life where it's kind of a tipping point, and we're afraid to tip. We're afraid to take that step. We're afraid to step out in faith. Maybe we're facing some news that we don't really like. Maybe we're in a position where God is calling us to a new level. Maybe we're leaving the nest and going to college. Maybe we're taking on a new job. Whatever it may be, know this. God says it's a now moment. It's a now moment. Are you leaning on Him? I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I believe solely that the Lord just said this. Say what you need to say and give them a chance to respond. I want to give you that chance right now. As Susie plays this again, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you need that touch from God, I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to come down here that we might pray with you, because it's about a power in prayer. It's about an anointing that the Holy Spirit gives. And this is the way we're going to dismiss as well. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I'm good, I don't need that, then I'm just going to ask that you just quietly dismiss. But if you're here and you need that touch, because life is like a sea, it's just tossing to and fro, and in the midst of it, you need the now moment with God, I'm going to ask you to come forward, and you can do that now. Don't hesitate. If that's you, respond to what God is saying.
waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I am yours, and you are mine. Oh.
First verse.
You call me out upon the waters, the great oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. Grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes. and you are mine. Oh. Keep singing or not? Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, never failed, and you won't start now. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I will call upon your name. oceans rise, my soul.